I'm Richard Verberg.
And I'm Duncan McLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 209, for the weekend starting 2 March 2018.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, real technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, new smartphones.
Also this week, a massive iPhone X, $1 trillion market caps. And when can we expect those first 5G devices?
Phones, 5G, a new iPhone, there's so much to talk about. Let's warm up these mics.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
Almost weekend time.
Can't wait. There's a beer waiting for me after this podcast.
Oh, good stuff. Yes. I should have offered you one. Apologies.
Bad host.
No, very bad host.
It's all good.
But I can't believe it's March already. Where's this year going? Before we know it, we'll be saying Merry Christmas.
It's a scary thought, yeah. At least we've got some good tech awaiting us this year to see us through this.
Yeah, and of course,
passing year.
Mobile World Congress has just concluded.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about some of the flagship smartphones that some of the big companies there have announced. But before we get into all that in the news this week, let's do our quiz. Do you want to fire it off?
Yes, certainly. First question. HMD has introduced a new flagship. What is it called?
Sony has two new flagship phones. What are they?
Third question. Which reality TV star last week crashed the share price of Snapchat parent Snap?
And fourth question. Who is the new Minister of Communications? And it's our 10th minister in 10 years.
And the last question. Jaguar has introduced its first all-electric SUV. What is this vehicle called?
Want one.
Mm.
We'll get to the results at the end of the show, as always. But let's dive into the week's news. And Mobile World Congress wrapped up yesterday in Barcelona.
Barcelona, as they say.
Barcelona. Let me not sing. I don't want to.
Yeah, you're not quite. Is it Placido Domingo? Is it singing that song?
I was thinking Freddie Mercury.
Oh, Freddie Mercury is also, yeah.
let's not damage our listeners' ears. So quite a few interesting announcements. We kind of knew what some of them were going to be. I thought the most exciting phone announcement out of Mobile World Congress this week came from HMD Global, which announced two interesting new phones. One is a 4G feature phone, the Nokia 8110. And if that name sounds familiar, it's because it's an old slider phone that Nokia used to do, I think back in 99 or 2000.
Wasn't that the one that was in The Matrix?
The Matrix.
That made everything popular.
Yeah, it was a very, very popular Nokia handset. And so they've redone it. People are really calling it the banana phone because it's this curved yellow, bright yellow phone. It comes in black as well. But why would you get the black one when the yellow one is?
Why be ordinary?
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't buy one, would you?
No, I was going to say, I mean, same with the Nokia 3110 that they brought back. It's a nice little novelty, but I don't know how practical it is. I guess there's markets that will go for it. But it's interesting what Nokia is doing. They're kind of putting this big retro spin on everything or on some of their phones. I don't know if whether they're trying to bring back, you know, just kind of the nostalgic feeling, or whether they generally see a market for people who want to invest in these phones.
They haven't given us any numbers, but they say that the previous one that they did, the Nokia 3110, sold very well, including here in South Africa. So we haven't seen the numbers, but if we believe HMD Global, it appears that there is a market for these old devices. And I suppose some people don't want smartphones.
Yeah,
or they want this as a secondary phone for the weekend and switch the smartphone off so they don't get bugged by email and...
Yeah, sure. But we got a lot of dumb phones out there. I guess they're not Nokia basic phones, you know, but you can get a phone for $300-$400 that's a throwaway.
Yeah. It's a beautiful looking phone, though. It's a really nice looking phone. It's 4G. It supports 4G, and it can be used as a hotspot.
That's cool. That's pretty handy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I'm not against the idea of going retro with these designs. It's just like I'm wondering if. I mean, it's a clever marketing trick because you're really pulling on people's kind of emotional strings. Yeah, you know, you can revive something old. It's like Hollywood remaking old movies. You know, we never seem to have original ideas. They're always just churning out the old ones. But yeah, the numbers would be interesting. But I mean, the functionality of these devices are really the thing that gets to me. I guess if you go into certain markets, it makes sense. But for the rest of the planet, I mean, everybody who's on kind of the iPhone generation, I don't see much value in it.
Yeah. You're right. I think the key here is marketing because it gets people talking about the Nokia brand again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Nokia brand effectively disappeared after the Microsoft acquisition. And you didn't see the brand in stores, effectively. I mean, you could still buy the Nokia feature phones.
Yeah.
But from a smartphone perspective, they really disappeared. But having these retro phones come into the market gets everyone excited and talking about the brand. And so I think the bigger function it plays is to get people talking about, hey, Nokia is actually back in the market. Hey, they're making phones again. If they're making this feature phone, I wonder what smartphones they're making. And then I mean, people think and talk about the brand. So from that perspective, I think it works extremely well.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I guess if they do add nice features into these feature phones, you know, like the hotspot sharing potential, you know, that is cool features that I can, you know, I can get on board with that and say, okay, there is a little bit more functionality behind this. But if they, you know, if they keep a dumb phone, you know, it'll always be limited.
I mean, I have a dumb phone for running. You know, I've had a phone mugged. I've been mugged in the past. Had my smartphone stolen from me. So if I'm running in the streets, I run with, I think it's a Nokia 105. It's a 150 Rand phone.
Oh, wow, okay.
And all it does is make a phone call. It's just
there for me, emergencies. That is not really a practical solution, because when I go mountain biking, all my songs, my music, everything, my Strava is on my phone, right? So I actually want my smartphone with me.
Sure.
Sure, I could get mugged and lose it, but I guess, you know, sometimes you just have to make these decisions.
Yeah. But if you're just going for a run in your neighborhood, then it might make sense. Although I hear you about the music angle. If you're at an organized event, then sure, take your smartphone.
Yeah, I can use my iPod, but then I can't stream my music that I want. Then I have to listen to the music that I actually loaded onto the iPod. And who still does that? Who still plans the music loaded onto an iPod these days?
I've actually still got an old iPod, 160 gigabyte.
That's one I've got too. Oh, yeah. That thing is still fantastic.
Yeah. I don't use it anymore. I stream everything. Even in the car, I stream.
No, but there's a lot of, I still use mine, you know, when I guess there are these times when I just want, I've got some good playlists on there still, and I just want something that I can plug in and leave. And I've also got the old Apple speakers, so that the combination is just, you know, you can't get those speakers anymore, and that is just a fantastic piece of kit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that iPod, I was so disappointed when they discontinued it, because I used that extensively for very many years. I think they call it the iPod Classic.
Yeah, the iPod Classic.
And it had a tiny hard drive inside it.
Yeah.
And it's in a drawer somewhere, and it still works, as far as I know.
Just keep it. Don't leave it in the drawer. Just bring it out into the light, and give it some
spin up those heads occasionally. Yeah. But yeah, streaming has killed. Streaming did kill the iPod for me.
Oh yeah.
We were talking about Nokia.
Digressing again.
What was really interesting is they launched a new high-end handset called the Nokia 8 Sirocco, which is the sexiest phone they've done, Android phone they've done to date, let's put it that way. Everyone was expecting them to announce the Nokia 9 at Mobile World Congress, but that didn't appear. And I would expect that we're going to see a Nokia 9 at some point down the line.
You don't think they'll skip to 10?
Who knows?
Maybe 11, just to up the competition.
Who knows? But the Nokia 8 Sirocco is a beautiful phone. It's only got, I say only, put in, only in inverted commas, got a Qualcomm Snapdragon 835 processor, whereas the new high-end handsets from Sony, Samsung, and others have the 845. It's still a very fast processor, and they've paired it with 6 gigabytes of RAM, which I think is the same as in the Nokia 8. So it's a fast device. The only other criticism I have of it is there's no headphone jack. Bad
choice.
Yeah. Let's not all copy Apple's bad design decisions. The whole market seems to be heading in that direction. Samsung, fortunately, hasn't followed suit, but quite a few manufacturers have dropped that.
And yet I still use my 3.5mm jack every day.
Yes, me too.
I mean, I haven't tapered off from the last time we had this conversation, which was last year sometime, about transitioning to Bluetooth. I do use Bluetooth, but not exclusively.
Yeah.
Not at the expense of 3.5.
It comes with a jack in the box. Jack in the box.
It comes with a jack in the box.
I think we just got our show name. an adapter, let's put it that way. But the problem with adapters is you lose them. They're very light.
It's another thing to carry. Yeah. I mean, a 3.5mm jack is invisible. You don't see it. It's just there when you want to plug something in.
Exactly.
I do like the square. I mean, I like the square design that they've gone with, similar to the previous model.
But with curved glass.
With curved glass.
Edge to edge.
It makes it look a lot more square for some reason, just looking at the photographs that I've seen.
Yeah.
So I think the real test is going to be in the hand, but judging by their previous phone, you know, they've got a solid manufacturer. Their design is solid. You know, the device feels amazing in the hand. And I can't imagine that this thing would be any worse off in the hand. So I'm looking forward to seeing this.
Yeah. I actually played with one last week under an NDA. And it's a lovely device. It's all glass, so you definitely do not want to drop it. But it's a beautiful design, and I'm really glad to see Nokia back in the smartphone game. Even if it's under license by another company, they're producing solid handsets, and the Sirocco looks beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to retail here for probably around 12 grand, so it's not going to be cheap. But
there's a lot of phones in that price range. I think it's just going to give the competition a run for its money and give consumers a nice option, another nice alternative option. I don't know how well the previous Nokia did here. Which was it, the Nokia 7?
Well, they've introduced a whole lot of them now. They introduced the Nokia 1 at Mobile World Congress, which is an Android Go entry-level unit.
Mm.
They've launched the Nokia, I think there's a 2, 3, 5, 6, so 7.
The previous high-end one? That
was the 8. Placing.
The 8, yeah.
Yeah, Nokia 8. So this is the Nokia 8 Sirocco. And Sirocco was an old Nokia brand name for high-end feature phones, for their really top-end feature phones. So they're bringing that back. So not to be confused, but I think it's a VW Sirocco or Skirocco.
And as one of our listeners in the chat room just pointed out, we shouldn't forget that this is vanilla Android. So that's one of the things I loved about it, the fact that you don't have any of this overhead on your installation.
Yeah, and the updates come fast and furious, unlike Samsung, where Samsung S8 users are still waiting for the Oreo update.
No, that's ridiculous.
A year, it's been about 6 months now since.
Not in the spirit of what Android is supposed to be. Come on, Samsung, you need to up your game.
And this is on their high-end phone from last year, and they still haven't released Oreo. It's starting to roll out, I believe, in some markets, but it's not here yet in South Africa.
But let's be honest, I mean, like any updates, you need these things when they come out. It's kind of no point having them a year down the line, 2 years down the line, when the next iteration of Android probably going to launch soon as well, you don't want to be playing catch-up game in mobile security, especially mobile security, and fixing those holes in the operating system, if there are any.
And of course Nokia is working very closely with Google. They partnered with Google, and I think it's called the Android One program. Their devices are certified by Google, and they roll out the updates within a maximum of a month or two after Google releases Oreo, certainly on the higher end devices. So and it's plain vanilla Android, so you're not, I mean, they have to do some tweaks here, like in the camera software and that sort of thing,
but that's minor.
It's minor stuff.
I think that's what Samsung's problem is. They've got too much on their operating system, with TouchWiz, or with their version of the Android operating
Samsung
system.
Samsung Experience, Samsung, whatever it's called now.
Too many things to patch and too many things to update.
Yeah, and update Bigsby and make sure that works, even though no one uses Bigsby.
I think we should do a poll worldwide and see how many Android users actually use these customizations that the manufacturers put in.
Mm-hmm.
And if 50% says no, then we scrap it completely. I'm sure we'll exceed that number.
Excellent call. But I'm loving that Nokia being back in the market, and I'm looking forward to actually getting some proper hands-on time with the Nokia 8 Sirocco, and looking forward also to seeing what gets announced later this year, because I'd bet either a Nokia 9 or Nokia 10 is coming with a high-end spec.
Very high-end spec. Judging by the Sirocco, I mean, it seems like they're gearing up to, to take on the high-end boys again, the high-end players.
And this is a high-end handset, get me wrong. 6 gig of RAM, 128 gigabytes of storage, Qualcomm 835, this is high-end spec.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, they definitely want to take on the guys, they want to be ahead of the curve here. They don't want to just be following the whole time.
Yeah. So what else was announced this week? Of course, there was the Galaxy S9, which was a bit of a snore fest, I thought.
Mm.
It was the whole thing had leaked before Mobile World Congress. There was nothing about the phone that I can think of that wasn't already known. Maybe a little bit about those animated emojis, or animojis as Apple calls them.
Is that news these days? Is it still news?
Yeah. Does anyone really care? I mean, I don't. Maybe the younger market does. I mean, we're both quite old. So
quite old. No, I do feel old.
Relatively speaking.
But I guess you touched on a good point. Like, how much innovation? I mean, I guess we've touched on this before as well, but phones today with a certain spec, certain camera, certain screen size, there's not much more you can do to that form factor. There's not much more you can put in there unless some new technology is introduced in it. Maybe some VR, AR components or AI components like we've seen with some manufacturers. But I'm really excited and waiting for the next thing. What is going to be the next breakthrough that's going to make us look at our cell phone and go, okay, I want to go to this phone because it's got something nobody else has got.
Yes.
I think we may be a while off from that still.
Mm. So, I don't think there's much to say about the S9. It's got the latest Qualcomm processor in it. Design-wise, it's very similar to the old phone. They've moved the fingerprint scanner slightly down on the back, which everyone complained about when the S8 came out, although I got quite used to it quite quickly. Apart from that...
I saw some photographs online. Casey Neistat, well-known YouTuber, did some test shots. And from what I could see, they look spectacular. Certainly much better than anything I've seen from any other phone.
The camera, of course, they've made big changes to the camera. That's probably the biggest...
Especially in the low light. I mean, I saw some nighttime shots in New York where...
It's got a variable aperture, doesn't it?
I think so, yes. No, it must have for some of those shots, I'm sure. And then obviously with some clever digital algorithm tricks.
Yes.
But the photographs look beautifully exposed at night. I mean, you know, and the contrast between light areas and dark areas. Look, I haven't seen the photographs I haven't been able to take my own photographs to compare, but it's difficult to fault, you know, a pro like Casey Neistat if he should take shots like that. I mean, yes, he is a paid for. He kind of does work with Samsung, so you have to take
it
with that amount.
He's not exactly going to diss them.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at the shots, I mean, you can analyze the shots for yourself, right?
Sure.
And yeah, they were the first time in a long time that I looked at something and said, yeah, that's an impressive camera. Yeah.
So, we must look out then and as this will happen, look out for a detailed comparison between the iPhone X and the Galaxy S9 cameras to see which one is best.
Yeah.
I suspect they're probably quite evenly matched.
Yeah, look, when you come down to it and when you post something on social media with a filter or two, you can probably not even tell the difference. Mm. I think the purists or the photographers amongst us who wants, you know, a beautiful raw image, we'll certainly see. I think that's the way to go. That's what we'll want from Samsung.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, the S8 was a fantastic phone. So I suppose, you know, Samsung wasn't going to reinvent the wheel this time around. I mean, Apple doesn't reinvent the wheel each time.
What else can you put on a phone? That's the question.
Oh, but they had a very successful model in the S8. It was a beautiful phone. It still looks gorgeous today. It's a super thin, powerful device. So why reinvent the wheel when you've got something so successful? Mm. Leave that for next year or even the year after. And Sony. Sony, we were talking about Sony quite extensively in the show last week, saying that they kind of seem to be falling behind. Now, I haven't seen these phones in the metal, as it were, but they look quite sexy from the photographs. The Xperia XZ2 and the Xperia XZ2 Compact. Let's look at the weird naming conventions. But they're very high-end handsets and a very powerful compact handset, if that's your thing. If you don't want one of these huge phones, the Compact has always been a good option. And both packing the Qualcomm 845 processor, and much more edge-to-edge. I think they're a bit curved as well. Radical reinvention of the Sony boxy design, which I think was overdue, as we said last week.
Yeah.
I need to see these phones in the flesh, but it does look like Sony has done some good work with those, and the camera tech looks quite impressive as well.
Yeah, you can never. I could never find fault with Sony hardware, even going back to the Hi-Fi days. You know, just good build quality, but they have been long overdue for something new in the mobile space. Yeah. They fell behind quite considerably, even though they had a superior product a few years ago in many ways.
Yeah,
can't wait to see these. They do look nice from the photographs. But again, a very safe design, I think.
Yeah.
Nothing exciting.
Yeah, I see someone in the chat room, Martin, in fact, saying the S9 camera can change aperture. Yeah. So, that's Mobile World Congress. Was there anything else at Mobile World Congress that caught your attention this week?
No, to be honest with you, I keep my eye on the highlights package. Mm. There was nothing else that really...
Vodafone announced with Nokia that they're going to build a 4G network on the moon, which, of course, is just marketing.
Yeah, just marketing. And just give us good cell phone reception on Earth. How's that for a starter? Let me not drop a call for 10 minutes, and then we can look at the moon as an expansion plan. How's that?
I think they're going to build a total of three base stations.
Do you think there'll be a problem with data costs or roaming?
Depends which operator builds it, I suppose. Yeah, the roaming costs could be a bit excessive.
Could be a bit higher.
So that's Mobile World Congress this week. I was interested in a piece that we carried from Bloomberg yesterday, saying that Apple looks likely to be the first publicly traded company with a market valuation above $1 trillion. That's $1,000 billion.
It's a lot of zeros.
They're currently sitting on just about 905, I think, 906 billion US. Biggest company in the world, publicly traded company in the world anyway. But my money's still on Amazon. I still think Amazon might do it. Their market cap has ticked up to around 730 billion. They've overtaken Microsoft, pushed Microsoft, I think, into fourth place now behind Apple. Apple number one, Google number two, Amazon number 3 and now Microsoft number 4. Mm. So Microsoft slipping down the ranks there. They were number 1 for a very long time. But yeah, I suppose it really depends on how well the next handsets do. Rumored large iPhone, which we're going to talk about a bit later in the show. Talk is the iPhone 10 hasn't sold as strongly as many people had expected, and in fact the supply chain is taking a bit of pressure because the numbers haven't met expectations, which is really interesting.
Look, I think it was a combination of short stock supply when it launched, but also it seems to be the ultimate indulgence almost these days to buy a high-end iPhone 10. You know, it's expensive.
It's expensive, yeah. And they've pushed their average selling price up and up and up with every model, and the iPhone 10 I think it's the first Apple iPhone that sells for $1,000.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
for the base model. If you want the iPhone, I think is there a larger
256?
The 256 gig version that retails for about $1,150 or something in that region. That's expensive.
No, it's incredible. I mean, does it have any competitors locally that's plus $20,000 in terms of pricing? I don't think
there's I don't think there are any. The Samsung Galaxy S8. Well, the S9 pricing has been revealed already, and even on the S9 Plus, I think it's going to be about 17.5 at launch, and it always comes down quite quickly from there.
But just think about it for a second. 17,000 Rand on a cell phone. I mean, these prices they kind of crept up on us over the years, but just put yourself in your shoes from 5 years ago, maybe, and think about a 17 or 20,000 Rand phone.
The rand, ridiculous. Rand obviously had a big impact on that. Although the rand has strengthened quite significantly in the last few months.
I don't think we'll see those benefits immediately. I mean, these guys would obviously want to keep the profit margin.
VAT is going up on the 1st of April. That'll add 1% to the price. A lot of these companies take out forward contracts. They hedge against the currency movement. So a lot of them will have, and a lot of them will have bought stock at the worst exchange rate.
Yeah.
So I think it'll take a while to see the benefits of the stronger rand. Assuming it stays strong, with all the talk of land grabs and expropriation without compensation, which if that happens, the rand's going to hell in a handbasket pretty quickly. But it's expensive. So maybe they will be the first $1 trillion company, but my money's still on Amazon.
No, I agree with you there. I think Amazon, they're the sleeper. They've got the guy. They've got the big guns behind them. In terms of just web services and kind of stuff that happens beyond the internet.
Yeah, that's such a big company. And as many analysts have pointed out, Jeff Bezos can simply, it's like he's got a big knob on his wall that, he wants to turn up the profits, he just turns the dial. Oh, let's invest some more, let's turn it the other way.
Probably.
So if he wants to push that share price up, he just turns the knob.
Probably his personal game that he plays. Like, what can we do today? Yeah. What markets can we influence today?
And we've seen some very interesting movements in the stock markets. I think we spoke about Nvidia a few weeks ago, but they've overtaken IBM in terms of valuation, which is quite remarkable. And Netflix has risen by 50% since the beginning of the year. That's on top of it's over 100% in 12 months. And I think their market value is now sitting at about $110 billion. Billion with a B. This is a video streaming company that's worth that much.
It's crazy.
I don't know how much companies like Disney and ESPN and those are worth, but I would imagine that they're not near that.
Can we at least just look at this and all other streaming companies or all other, I guess, content companies take note here? There is a market in the model for streaming services, without a doubt, and we can see it. Give us good content. And don't rip us off with the prices. I mean, I'll be happy to pay more for Netflix, to be honest with you, because I get so much value out of it and there's just so much good content.
Yeah. The price point of Netflix in South Africa, which if you convert with the exchange rate, I think it's about 125 rand a month.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer to spend. I don't feel any grudge at all spending that money.
I had the conversation on streaming audio services recently, and it's the same kind of argument. But for me, for the price of a CD on streaming music services, you get all you can eat. And similarly, for the price of a DVD, I mean, you used to buy DVDs for 120 rand for some of the imports.
Yeah, or more.
You get or more. But I mean, you get essentially for one a month, you get unlimited.
Yeah.
Which I still can't wrap my head around how it works for them, because they their overheads for making some of these shows and obviously buying shows and license must be millions of rand.
Haven't you seen all the starving artists walking around in the street?
That's also true. Okay, yeah, I'm one of them. So yes, I guess we are being ripped off. But similar with streaming music, I guess, you know, there is kind of somebody benefits.
But you're right, it's a no-brainer. Most of them are $60 a month. And that's, I mean, a new CD now, I haven't bought a CD in years, but when I stopped buying CD, last CD I bought was probably 3 or 4 years ago. And I don't know, it must have been at least 160 rand.
Yeah,
for a new CD.
Yeah.
So in effect, you're paying about a third of.
Carry a disc around. So if you want to listen to that song somewhere out on a jog, you have to carry the disc with you. Isn't that kind of archaic now? If you think about it.
Or upload it onto your iPod.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. How much time is that going to take? You have to rip the CD first in iTunes, get it onto your iPod.
And you have to install iTunes as well, which is...
I've got it, so I can't really complain.
But you use a Mac. It's okay on Mac. On Windows, iTunes is a nightmare. horrible software. Really, really, truly horrible software in Windows. Anyway, we need to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Honey, why can't I download any more series?
Dad, my game just bombed.
Daddy, I was speaking to Kevin and my call just cut out.
With uncapped Vox fiber to the home, reaching your cap is a thing of the past. You can have all your devices connected all the time. Get unlimited browsing, unlimited calling, and unlimited entertainment. Vox fiber. Now uncapped. T's and C's apply. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Well, welcome back to the show. How's it, Rechot?
How's it, Duncan? And the chat room.
Yeah, good to see quite a few guys tuning in and listening to the show. A couple more than last week. We wanted to stream via Facebook this week, but it turns out it's slightly more challenging than we thought. So we'll continue to work on that. But we're coming to you live on Discord this week. If you don't know Discord, it's actually a very good chat program and voiceover IP program that's mainly used by gamers. But it's also a great platform for streaming podcasts.
Good enough for gamers, it's good enough for us.
For sure, for sure. Well said. So let's talk about that new iPhone. 6.5 inches is huge.
That's what she said.
Let's not talk about your 6.5. Would you get one, a 6.5-inch iPhone?
I think coming back to my previous conversation, you know, the more I see these new iPhones coming out with these high price ranges, the more I shy away from it, simply because, you know, realizing the value of what that phone can do in your life, my iPhone 6 that I'm using at the moment on the iPhone side is still good enough. So I'm finding it very difficult to justify upgrading outside of my upgrade cycle.
Okay, let's assume price is no object. Would you buy a 6.5-inch iPhone?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, how big is the iPad Mini? Is that 8 inches?
Yes.
So we're getting close to the size of an iPad Mini.
Can we use the word phablet again? Is that trendy?
I don't think Apple will call it a phablet.
Look, I can see. I mean, I don't have a big smartphone like that. So the iPhone 5 is too small for me. The iPhone 6 is, the iPhone 7 is a good size.
Yeah. The small one, not the big one.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the big, the plus size. But I've seen so many people out in the wild with the bigger iPhone. And then when they show me a video or they show me something, I can't help but go, that is nicer than mine. But when you talk about putting it in your pocket and walking around, even some of the, I'm using an Android that is a larger screen, that's a 6-inch screen now. And that's even too big for my pocket. So I can't always, you know, it's just a little bit uncomfortable to put in my pocket if I want to go somewhere. If I want to cycle, I don't like to do it.
Which Android are you using there?
That's the OnePlus.
The OnePlus, okay. Yeah, so that has bezels on it?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you strip away the bezels, it becomes a smaller phone. So maybe there's an argument to be made that a 6.5-inch iPhone, like the iPhone 10, with the bezel stripped down, isn't too big. I mean, it's still pushing on the large side, but maybe without the bezels. I mean, I've played with both the Samsung S9 and S8 and S8 Plus, and I don't find the S8 Plus too big, but mainly because they got rid of the bezels on the phone. And as the manufacturers start to do away with bezels, maybe we can look at shifting up the size of devices.
Look, I still see merit in a larger screen device, and you know, for consuming data, I would love to have one. But, you know, just on a day-to-day basis, also you know, a simple thing like holding it in my hand. When I'm in bed reading my news and I'm just showing you, holding up my one hand, I can have the iPhone in my hand and screen and touch most of the corners.
Yes.
With a bigger device or with the OnePlus that I'm using, I can't.
Yeah.
Because my fingers just, it's the, you can do it if you contort your fingers a bit, but I'm sure a lot of people that read that way would agree with me. You know, you'd rather want something that you can manage in your hand.
Yes.
But again, it's, you know, it's different to different people, different strokes for different folks. But I do see the value in a big screen.
I wouldn't say different strokes are different folks, especially with Martin in the chat room asking how many inches your phone is. moving rapidly along. 5G, we also spoke about this last week, but there's been some news in the interim period. I see a number of US operators have announced they're going to start deploying 5G networks by the end of this year. AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile all announcing they're going to be rolling out to various cities across the US. What was interesting out of those statements was that the first devices that are going to be available on the network are not going to be smartphones. I suppose this is to be expected. They're going to be what they call in America pucks, as in hockey pucks, because they do look a bit like hockey pucks.
Yeah.
And we're talking about, of course, Wi-Fi hotspots, mobile hotspots. And I suppose it makes sense, because I think that's what happened with previous generations as well. The first use for these things, certainly for, I remember 3G, the first devices that were 3G enabled were these USB dongles that you plugged into your laptop to connect. Those really arrived before the smartphones came, maybe six months later. So I suppose that's to be expected. Of course, we're not going to see 5G in this country until the spectrum issue gets sorted out. So this is all academic from a South African perspective for now. Yeah. But 5G coming to the US by the end of the year.
Okay, we almost always need to move towards the next technology, better, faster, bigger. It's evolution. It's Moore's law in many ways. But I'm quite happy with my LTE speeds at the moment and fiber at home. Obviously, you know, I'd be very happy with the status quo if we can just continue and maybe drop some prices. So I'm not in a hurry for this, but it's nice to see. It's certainly nice to see the technology grow.
As some clever wag said on the comments on Tech Central on the story. These are going to be hotspots in more ways than one.
Well said, yeah.
You know how hot these things run in the first iteration of the technology. Remember the first 3G devices you plugged into your laptop? You touched them and you almost burn yourself. and you're sitting there, you're working away, you plug this thing into your laptop, next thing your laptop battery's dead.
Oh, the good old days, eh?
Don't miss them. Don't miss them,
but it was good to live through them.
Did you ever use iBurst?
Oh, yes. Remember I had one of those modems for a while.
Did you use one of those PCM-CIA modems?
Yes, I went through all of them.
Yeah.
But those were,
Remember PCM-CIA?
Never a fan of it. It was weird.
No, it was horrible.
But it was the first modems that you could get on a laptop. Some of the first modems were all PCM-CIA.
It was the first real alternative to Telkom. I mean, there was Centecmo Wireless, but the signal was so spotty, it was almost unusable. But iBurst provided an alternative to Telkom, but those PCMCIA cards. I've got one here. I've got one at home somewhere, old
piece of history.
Yeah, you know what PCMCIA stands for, by the way?
Pop quiz? No, I don't.
People can't memorize computer industry abbreviations.
That's why I can't remember it.
That's not really what it stands for.
No, of course. I must remember it.
I've no idea what it actually stands for. And that's our news this week. Let's move on to our regular features. Our winner this week is HMD Global for all the reasons we spoke about earlier.
Banana Gate.
Great phones. Yeah. The company's doing great things for the Nokia brand. And the Nokia brand's back in the market and good devices. And devices that people are talking about. So well done to HMD Global. And our loser this week is our president. I really didn't expect him to be a loser so quickly because after the Jacob Zuma era, but for appointing Nomvula Mokonyane as the new Minister of Communications, fresh from creating an utter disaster at the Department of Water Affairs and Sanitation, which is several billion rands in the hole because of irregular expenditure. She's now been appointed as the 10th communications minister in 10 years. I actually struggle to remember who all of the ministers were now. There've been so many of them, but and I'm not going to attempt it here, but this is the ministry in charge of digital migration, this project that is so many years behind schedule. Now, a minister's been appointed with absolutely no experience of the sector, a minister who has huge question marks hanging over her head about her suitability for being in government. And, it's such a crucial... this digital migration thing is such a crucial thing for the ICT sector. And here the president appoints someone who is probably not going to do a good job. So I'm afraid to say, just a few weeks into the job, that Cyril Ramaphosa gets our first loser. He's the first loser.
Can't disagree there.
What is your pick, Rechot?
All right. So my little pick, I've been on a bit of an Instagram revival lately. So I've been doing a lot more Instagramming in the last few weeks, just trying to get more photographs out there, trying to showcase some of my drone photography and, just building up my Instagram following a bit. But as you know, Instagram being phone only, it's a bit of a pain if you want to edit photographs and get your photo up onto Instagram. So I've bought this app called Flume, which is essentially a desktop app for Instagram. And I may have picked it, and if I have done so, I apologize. But I've just been using it so much the last few
If you're really
weeks.
Loving it, you're welcome to pick it twice.
Pick it twice. But it is great. I mean, it's essentially just a desktop extension that allows you to do everything you can do on Instagram, but on your computer. Not so much editing. Yes, you can do editing of your photographs on there, but if you're going to be using this application, you'd probably be editing your photos in Lightroom and then uploading it directly to Instagram that way. It's also nice for managing multiple accounts. So I'm managing some other company's Instagram account. So for me to do the same thing, edit photographs, get it up onto Instagram, is so much easier with this application. And I would highly recommend it. If you're on Instagram and you do use Instagram a lot, it's definitely in your interest. It'll save you a lot of time to use this app.
Great stuff.
I recommend it.
We'll include a link on the show notes on the website. My pick this week is the Vivaldi web browser, which I played with when it first came out, I think back in 2015 or 2016. It's been about 3 years since the first technical release came out. And I uninstalled it because it really wasn't quite ready for prime time. Yeah. But I've been having more and more problems with Google Chrome, and I can't get to the bottom of them. And I even uninstalled Chrome and reinstalled it from scratch, deleting all my settings and going through the painful process of setting it up again. And the same problems recurred. I'm having problems with speed performance. I've tested network settings in Chrome. I've checked whether I wasn't using a dodgy proxy or something. And it was just giving me problems. Some websites didn't want to load properly. So I got the hell in this morning, and I installed Vivaldi. I fired up Firefox and started using that first. And while Firefox has improved a lot since the Quantum release of version 57, it's now in version 58, it still feels a bit clunky to me. It's a great browser, but it still feels a bit clunky to me. So I installed Vivaldi, just out of interest to see what it looks like. And it has come along in leaps and bounds since the last time I used it. It's based on Chromium, which is the same underlying code, if I can call it that. I'm not sure how you call it an engine, but it's the same underlying code.
Call it a framework, probably a better.
Yeah, a platform on which Google Chrome is based. But it's in no way Chrome at all. I mean, it's a completely different browser. Mm. But it does support Chrome extensions, which is very important
to me. That's important, yeah.
I use a lot of Chrome extensions, 5 or 6 of them, and they all work fine in Vivaldi. It's a clean, super fast, simple browser with a lot of extensibility and a lot of customizability. So you can choose different themes. You can do all sorts of stuff with it in the settings. I think you'll spend a good few hours going through those settings and customizing it the way you want to. But I've now set it as my primary browser. Now, the qualification here is I've only been using it for about, what's going on, 6 hours now. But I use web browsers a lot, and I can feel this browser is super lightweight, super fast, super responsive, super customizable, and I'm really, really comfortable with it. So I have deleted Chrome off my computer.
Wow, that's a big step.
Yeah, it's gone. The only thing missing from Vivaldi is the ability to sync between computers. I presume that'll come as well, but I'm talking about syncing bookmarks and settings.
Yeah,
and
like syncing.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's almost a generic these days.
It's coming soon. I read a blog post on the Vivaldi website. It's coming very soon. It's in the development beta. Mm-hmm. So the next release version of Vivaldi should have the sync software included in it, which will then, in my view, make it almost perfect browser.
Yeah, nice. So tell me, does any specific music play when you start up? Any classical music come up when you start up Vivaldi?
No,
nothing like that.
It gets out the way, which is really nice.
You were talking about what Chrome does, and a few weeks ago I spoke about the issues I've been having on my Mac with processing performance.
Yeah,
and I formatted my machine, and that problem has been recurring. And it's if I minimize Chrome or certain browsers, certain websites, just push up the it increases the process that's being used
in Chrome.
Mm. That was the problem that I've been having. So I obviously killed whatever caused it, but it still happens with certain web pages that my usage just spikes up and I can't use my computer. It's just everything just grinds to a halt.
Yeah, I worry that Chrome is becoming a bit like Internet Explorer was in the old days. It's not that bad yet. I do worry that it's heading in that direction. Install Vivaldi. It runs on Mac and Linux and Windows and possibly other platforms. I'm not sure, but certainly Mac, Windows, and Linux. And it's good. I'd love to get your feedback actually next week on the show.
Well, we got a comment from the talk show. Just Brad. I did actually think about Bitcoin miners. It is possible that some of the sites do have that. And yes, I have cut down my Pornhub visits significantly since then. So I don't think that is the problem right now. But thanks for checking up on me.
Hope you're running antivirus.
I do use incognito mode. Does that count?
We don't want to know all your secrets. Oh man, this chat room is dragging us into the gutter very quickly, so I think maybe we should wrap up the podcast.
I'm loving the direction where this is going. Let's keep it up.
I think that's the show, actually. We have done everything. Yeah,
I would like to make can I do another pick actually from sure. from the chat room as well. I think it's Martin's pick, a Retro Flag, which is a Nintendo NES case for your Raspberry Pi. And I just opened it up and it looks very nice. It's like a little Raspberry Pi case for your NES case for your Raspberry Pi. I'm sure you can then obviously run
from Star Wars. And,
what? No. That's just what the old NES cases look like.
Oh, right. Okay. It looks like a prop out of Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It's like an old school retro gray computer box.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a very cool pick, actually. I'm going to be checking this out.
There we go. Martin, you got your first pick on the show. In fact, we must get you on the podcast at some point in the future. And that's our show. Yeah, as always, if you've got any feedback, info@techcentral.co.za is the email address. And thanks to everyone on Discord for joining us today and for taking part in the chat room. It's been great. Until next week.
Wait, the quiz results.
Oh, yeah. What would I do without you, Richard? Do you want to do it first? The first question.
Yes, the first question in this week's quiz that we almost missed. HMD has introduced a new Nokia flagship. What is it called? And the answer there is the Nokia 8 Sirocco.
Sony has two new flagship phones. What are they? That's the Xperia Z2 and the Xperia Z2 Compact.
Third question. Which reality TV star last week crashed the share price of Snapchat parent Snap? The answer there is Kylie Jenner.
That's who you were Googling. Who is the new Minister of Communications? And that's Nomvulo Mokonyane.
And the last question, Jaguar has introduced its first all-electric SUV. What's the name of the vehicle? And the answer is Jaguar I-Pace.
That's our show. Until next week. Cheers.
Ciao, ciao.